In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit down upon us so that through these words, our minds and hearts may be open to receive what you desire for us to hear.
Amen.
We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Faustina, and all the saints.
Amen.
Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Oh, amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
This week, we're reflecting on the readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yes.
And the first reading from Nehemiah is particularly powerful.
Oh, it really is. The scene where Ezra reads the law to the people.
Right.
It's so beautifully depicted. You can almost feel the weight of the moment as the people listen intently, visibly moved by what they're hearing.
It's like they're experiencing God's word anew. With a sense of awe and reverence.
Yes.
And Ezra's efforts to make sure everyone understands, it emphasizes how crucial accessibility is to truly receiving God's message.
That's a point that resonates throughout Scripture.
Mm.
Just look at how Jesus used parables to make complex spiritual truths relatable to the everyday lives of the people. He met them where they were at.
It's interesting how that ties into the Catholic understanding of the church's role in interpreting Scripture.
Yeah.
It's not about restricting access, but ensuring that the message is understood in its fullness.
Exactly. Think of it like a constitution.
Hmm.
It needs a court to provide authoritative interpretations to avoid misinterpretations or misapplications.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, Scripture benefits from the guidance of the church, which has carefully preserved and passed down its meaning throughout history.
That makes me think about those accusations sometimes thrown at the church about trying to keep the Bible away from people. The history of the church shows the opposite. It's always sought to spread and clarify the Word of God. Translating the Bible into Latin back then made it accessible to more people, for example.
Right. It's about ensuring that God's Word is understood within the context of tradition and a holistic view of Scripture, avoiding the pitfalls of isolating verses or interpreting them in ways that contradict the overall message.
Okay.
A great example of this is the concept of sola fide.
Sola fide.
Yeah.
I've heard that term before.
Okay.
But haven't really delved into it.
It means faith alone.
Okay.
And is sometimes used to suggest that good works aren't necessary for salvation.
Okay.
However, when you consider the whole of Scripture, particularly verses like James 2.24, you see that faith and works are inseparable.
So it's about considering the entire picture, the full tapestry of Scripture, rather than focusing on isolated threads.
Precisely. And that's where the four senses of Scripture come in.
Right.
They provide a framework for engaging with the Bible on multiple levels, allowing us to glean deeper meaning and understanding.
I remember learning about those. Literal, allegorical, moral, and anagogical.
Right. The literal sense helps us understand the basic meaning of the text, while the allegorical sense reveals the symbolic meanings and connections between the Old and New Testaments, what we call typology.
Typology, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But could use a refresher on what it means.
Think of it as finding those elements in the Old Testament that foreshadow or prefigure what is fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament.
Ah, like how the Passover lamb prefigures Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Exactly. It's a beautiful way of seeing how God's plan unfolds throughout history, with events in the Old Testament pointing towards their ultimate fulfillment in Christ.
So thinking back to the Nehemiah reading, how does understanding typology help us reflect on what God is saying to us today?
Well, consider how Ezra is elevated on a platform to read the law.
Okay.
This act of enthroning the Word of God prefigures how Christ, the Word made flesh, is enthroned in our hearts and in the church.
That's a really interesting connection. It makes me think about how we, as Catholics, place such importance on the liturgy and the proclamation of the word during Mass.
Absolutely. The Mass itself becomes a reenactment of that scene in Nehemiah, with the Word of God taking center stage and calling us to listen, reflect, and respond.
So it's not just about hearing the words, but allowing them to penetrate our hearts and transform us, much like the Israelites were transformed by Ezra's reading of the law.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that encountering Scripture isn't a passive activity.
Right.
It's a dynamic encounter with the living God who speaks to us through his word.
Mm-hmm.
and invites us into a deeper relationship with him.
This makes me wonder about the many other instances in the Bible where we see the importance of engaging with Scripture emphasized.
There are quite a few, actually. Yeah. St. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, highlights the power of Scripture for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
So Scripture isn't just about acquiring knowledge. It's about shaping our lives,
yes,
guiding us towards holiness, and equipping us to live as disciples of Christ.
Precisely. It's a living word that has the power to transform us from the inside out if we open ourselves to its message.
And the act of reading Scripture regularly, reflecting on it,
right,
and allowing it to penetrate our hearts is a way for us to actively participate in that transformation.
Absolutely. It's about cultivating that habit of daily engagement with God's word, allowing it to nourish our souls and guide our steps.
This makes me think about those who might feel overwhelmed by the prospect of reading the Bible. Where do they even begin?
That's a great question. And one we'll dive into further after a short break.
Okay.
We'll be right back to explore practical tips for engaging with Scripture in a way that's meaningful and life-changing.
Sounds good.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. So for those feeling a bit daunted by the Bible,
right,
I always recommend starting small. Even just a few verses a day can make a huge difference.
That's good advice. Sometimes I get intimidated thinking about reading the whole thing.
Right.
Do you have any tips for choosing where to start?
The Gospels are always a great place to begin.
Okay.
They offer a beautiful and accessible introduction to the person of Jesus and his teachings.
That makes sense. You mentioned the importance of the church
right,
in interpreting Scripture.
Yeah.
Are there resources Catholics can use to help understand what they're reading?
Absolutely. There are excellent commentaries and study Bibles available, many written specifically from a Catholic perspective.
Okay.
And don't underestimate the power of simply talking to your priest or a knowledgeable friend about what you're reading. Sometimes a different perspective can really illuminate a passage.
Just like that moment in Nehemiah
when
the Levites help explain the meaning of the law to the people.
Yes.
They provide context and make it easier to understand.
Exactly. Having someone to guide you can be incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as you're getting started.
You know, thinking about the Israelites' response to hearing the law.
Right.
The weeping, the repentance.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder about the role of emotion when we encounter Scripture.
That's a great observation. It's not just about intellectual understanding. It's about allowing the Word of God to touch our hearts and move us.
Sometimes a passage will really resonate with me on an emotional level,
and
that's when it feels most powerful.
I have that experience too.
Yeah.
It's like the words are speaking directly to your soul.
Exactly. It's a reminder that God's word is living and active,
right?
Not just a collection of stories and teachings.
Precisely. And that brings us back to the idea of the Bible as a love story.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, and I'm really curious to hear more about it.
From beginning to end, Scripture reveals God's relentless love for humanity. It starts with the creation of Adam and Eve.
Right.
A beautiful act of love where God shares his own life with them.
And even when humanity falls into sin, God doesn't abandon us.
No.
He continues to pursue us, offering covenants and promises.
Right.
Sending prophets to guide us back to him.
Exactly. It's like the story of the prodigal son. No matter how far we stray,
mm-hmm.
God is always waiting with open arms, ready to welcome us back.
And ultimately, that love story culminates in the sending of Jesus, the Word made flesh, who comes to save us and reconcile us to God.
His life, death, and resurrection are the ultimate testament to God's love, a love so powerful that it conquers even death itself.
And that love calls us to respond, to embrace the call to discipleship, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and strive to live as he lived.
And that's where the example of Mary, the mother of God, comes in.
Right.
Her yes to God's will, her complete surrender and trust is a model for all of us.
It's a reminder that discipleship involved sacrifice.
Yes.
It involves carrying our own crosses.
Right.
But it's ultimately a path that leads to true joy and fulfillment.
And as disciples, we're called to extend that love to others, to be reflections of Christ's mercy and compassion in the world.
It's about putting our faith into action.
Yes.
Reaching out to those in need.
Mm.
and striving to make a difference in the lives of others.
And one powerful way to do that is by sharing the word of God with those around us.
That can be a little intimidating.
Yeah.
I sometimes worry about coming across as preachy or judgmental.
I understand. It's not about forcing our beliefs on others, but about sharing the love and hope we found in Christ in a way that's authentic and inviting.
So it's about being open to conversations.
Yes.
About sharing our own experiences with faith and letting others see the impact it has on our lives.
Exactly. And sometimes the simplest act of kindness, of simply being present for someone who's struggling, can speak volumes about the love of Christ.
This makes me wonder about those who haven't encountered the Bible.
Okay.
Or who may have negative perceptions of it.
That's a common experience. Many people have preconceived notions about the Bible based on what they've heard or experienced. Mm. But I always encourage them to approach it with an open mind.
Yeah.
And a willingness to engage with it on its own terms.
It's like anything else in life.
Yeah.
We often dismiss things before we truly understand them.
Exactly. And that's where respectful dialogue and a willingness to listen to each other's perspectives can be so valuable.
Speaking of dialogue, do you think there's a danger in focusing too much on the historical or technical aspects of the Bible and losing sight of its core message?
That's a great question. While understanding the historical context and literary nuances of Scripture is important, it shouldn't overshadow the heart of the message, which is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ.
It's like getting so caught up in analyzing a work of art that you forget to simply step back and appreciate its beauty.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to approach Scripture with a balance of head and heart, intellect and emotion.
This makes me think about the role of personal reflection in our engagement with the Bible.
Reflection is crucial.
Yeah.
It's not just about reading the words, but about pausing to consider their meaning, to pray with them, and to allow them to speak to our hearts.
That's something I've been working on in my own prayer life.
Okay.
Taking the time to really savor a passage and allow it to sink in.
It's a practice that deepens our understanding and helps us apply Scripture to our lives in a more meaningful way.
And speaking of application, I think it's important to remember that the Bible isn't just a collection of ancient stories.
Right.
It's a living word that speaks to us today.
Absolutely. It's full of wisdom, guidance, and encouragement that can help us navigate the challenges and joys of life in the 21st century.
It's like a compass pointing us toward true north, helping us stay on course amidst the storms of life.
Precisely. And that brings us back to the central question we posed earlier.
Right.
What does it mean for you to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord? And how can you practically live out that trust in your daily life?
That's a powerful question. It's not just about saying we believe.
Right.
It's about aligning our actions with our beliefs.
Yeah.
About making choices that reflect our trust in Christ.
And that trust can manifest in countless ways. It might involve prioritizing prayer.
Yeah.
And making time for God each day.
It could mean serving others.
Right.
Using our gifts and talents to make a difference in the world.
Or perhaps it involves making difficult choices that align with our values, even when those choices are unpopular or come at a personal cost.
Ultimately, living out our trust in Christ is about surrendering to His will and allowing His love to transform us from the inside out.
It's about embracing the call to discipleship and striving to become more like Him each day.
This brings us back to that powerful image from Nehemiah. The enthronement of the Word of God.
It's a reminder that when we place God's Word at the center of our lives, when we allow it to shape our thoughts, words, and actions, we become vessels of His love and grace.
We become living testaments to the transformative power of Scripture.
And that transformation extends outwards, impacting not only our own lives, but also the lives of those around us.
It's a ripple effect. A beautiful reminder that when we open ourselves to God's word, we become agents of His love and grace in the world.
And that ultimately is the heart of the gospel message.
This has been such an insightful reflection. I feel like I've gained a deeper appreciation for the power and relevance of Scripture.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
It's been a joy discussing these important themes with you.
And for our listeners,
we
encourage you to continue this reflection on your own, to delve into the Scriptures, and to allow God's word to speak to your hearts.
May you find wisdom, guidance, and encouragement in its pages. And may you be transformed by the love of Christ that shines through every verse. And with that, we'll conclude this week's reflection. Thank you for joining us.
God bless.
Thinking about how we can practically live out our trust in Christ each day, it makes me consider the importance of having a plan for engaging with Scripture.
That's a great point. It's one thing to say we'll read the Bible more, but it's another to actually create a structure that supports that goal.
Do you have any tips for creating a sustainable routine?
I find it helpful to choose a specific time each day and stick to it as much as possible. Some people prefer mornings, others evenings. It really depends on what works best for you. And even if it's just for 15 minutes, that dedicated time can make a world of difference.
I've heard people talk about Lectio Divina as a way to pray with Scripture. Could you explain what that is?
Lectio Divina is a beautiful way to engage with Scripture slowly and prayerfully. It involves reading a passage several times, listening for a word or phrase that stands out to you, reflecting on its meaning, and then responding in prayer.
It sounds like a great way to move beyond just reading the words on the page and really let them sink into your heart.
Exactly. It's about fostering a conversation with God, allowing His word to guide and shape our thoughts and actions.
I think it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and forget to make time for those quiet moments of reflection.
It's definitely a challenge in our fast-paced world, but even small steps can make a big difference. Maybe it's setting a reminder on your phone to read a few verses or incorporating Scripture into your existing prayer routine.
I've also found it helpful to join a Bible study group. It's inspiring to hear how others interpret and apply Scripture to their lives.
That's a great idea. Having a community of faith to support and encourage you on your journey can be incredibly valuable.
It's like those moments in the Nehemiah reading, when the people gather together to listen to the law and then discuss its meaning. There's a real sense of shared experience and communal understanding.
Exactly. We're not meant to walk this path of faith alone. We need each other to help us make sense of Scripture and apply its teachings to our lives.
You know, thinking about the Israelites' response to hearing the law, their tears of repentance and commitment to following God's commands, it makes me wonder if we sometimes lack that same level of passion in our own faith.
I think that's a fair observation. It's easy to become complacent or to take our faith for granted, but the Israelites' response is a powerful reminder that encountering God's word should be a transformative experience, one that moves us to change and to live differently.
It's not just about acquiring knowledge. It's about allowing that knowledge to shape our hearts and actions.
Precisely. It's about becoming doers of the word, not just hearers.
This brings me back to that central question we keep returning to. What does it mean for you to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, and how could you practically live out that trust in your daily life?
It's a question that deserves ongoing reflection and action. Trusting in Jesus as Lord isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily commitment to follow Him, to surrender to His will, and to allow His love to guide our steps.
And that trust can be expressed in countless ways, both big and small. It might involve making a conscious effort to be more patient and forgiving with others.
Or it could mean standing up for what's right, even when it's difficult or unpopular.
Maybe it's simply making time for prayer each day, seeking God's guidance in our decisions.
Ultimately, living out our trust in Christ is about becoming more like Him each day, reflecting His love and mercy in the world.
And that, I think, is the heart of what it means to be a disciple.
Exactly. It's a journey, not a destination, and it requires ongoing effort and commitment, but the rewards are immeasurable.
As we conclude this reflection, I want to encourage our listeners to embrace the challenge of living out their faith in practical ways. May you find inspiration and guidance in the Scriptures, and may you be strengthened by the love of Christ that permeates every page. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time.
God bless.